Scripture passage for today comes from the first chapter of 2 Timothy. Listen now for God's holy word. Paul is writing to Timothy again in this letter, and he begins like this. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure it lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. My friends, the grass may wither, the leaves may fall, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. In our scripture for today, God has a message for us about rekindling our faith. Rekindling, that word, of course, is a metaphor about fire and light. And those two themes, fire and light, are such important themes throughout the Bible. The prophet Isaiah, inspired by God's Holy Spirit, predicted the coming of Christ, who would come to bring light to those who were trapped in darkness. When Jesus arrived in the world, he wasn't shy about his identity. In the Gospel of John, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus shone forth and shared the light of life. And Jesus called his disciples to share that identity, to live in the light and to share that calling to bring light to others who were trapped in darkness in this world. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to the disciples, "You are the light of the world." Jesus explained that when you light a candle, you don't put it under a bushel basket, but you put it on a stand and it gives light to the whole room. And then Jesus said very plainly to his disciples, "Let your light shine before others." If the disciples wondered or had forgotten, if they doubted if they could meet this high calling to be the light of the world, God reminded them on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit appeared over them as tongues of holy fire dancing and burning above them and then dancing and burning within them as well. The holy fire of Pentecost, the holy fire of God's Spirit filled their hearts. It burned within them. It chased away the darkness. It burned within them, and it activated their service to God in this world. They worshiped the God who had brought them this light. They gathered together and prayed and gathered to break bread. They lived in joy, knowing that despite their hardships and persecutions, they were safe in God's light and God's care. And they shared that light with others. They shared the light of the world by talking about what God had done in Jesus and what they had come to understand and believe. They shared the light with others who would help to take that light and spread it even further. My friends, we live in this same light, and we too are called by God to be the light of the world. The fire of light and hope and grace and peace and goodness, God causes that light to burn and dance within us, so that we could know its warming and its direction-giving light, but also so that we can share it with others. In our scripture passage for today, Paul acknowledges that sometimes that light and that fire within us Paul acknowledges that sometime that light and that fire needs to be rekindled. The whole reason why Paul writes this letter, the letter of 2 Timothy, is because Timothy was in a time of need. Paul writes to encourage his friend, his companion, his fellow servant in Christ to rekindle the fire and the light of Christ within Timothy, which was being diminished. Fire is a wonderful and a beautiful thing. The fire of Christ burning within us is a wonderful and a beautiful thing. But the reality is that from time to time in our lives, for many and various different reasons, the fire of faith can dwindle and diminish within us. The world around us is so dark and so damp. And often the world's sorrows and fears and disappointments press in on us in such a way that we catch cold. We are not left feeling bright and inspired, but we are left feeling rather dull and dimmed. In these moments and seasons of life, faith is not a raging fire within us, but instead it's a fading ember. An ember that is just holding on to its last glow of warmth and light. Now, in our tradition, we believe that faith is something that God gives us and keeps alive inside of us. While this is true, this is the source of faith, we also acknowledge in our tradition that faith is something that we can work to kindle and strengthen and build up. God lights the fire of faith within us. God keeps that ember of faith alive in our hearts no matter what, even in times of darkness. But we, through devotion and dedication, we can add fuel to the fire of faith, to rekindle our faith, and to help it burn brightly. Within the letter of 2 Timothy, Paul gives direction for this work of rekindling faith. Paul points Timothy to sources of tinder and fuel for Timothy to use to reignite his faith. Most prominently in the letter, Paul directs Timothy to rekindle his faith through his use of his capacity to remember. Repeatedly in this letter, Paul calls Timothy to remember, practices of remembrance. First and foremost, Paul calls Timothy to remember Christ Jesus. The condition of this life around us, the difficulties of cancer and other sicknesses, the sorrows that come when we see the effects of global climate change and severe weather, the divisions within our country, which are so prominent and on display during election seasons, these are the sources of dampness and darkness that can smother our faith. And it is important in times like these to remember Jesus. It is important in times like these to read and to hear the stories of the gospel, the stories and the words of Christ that can help to rekindle our faith as we are reminded that Christ came as a foretaste of healing and the peace-giving and the reconciling power of God. Jesus came into this world to restore the good life that God had given, especially for those who were sick and hurting. Jesus came to calm the chaos of this world, demonstrated by the times when he calmed the storms at sea. Jesus came to bring together the family of God, and he called disciples who were diverse and different, those who were rich and those who were poor, those who were zealots, political radicals, and those who had accepted and were comfortable with the status quo. Jesus ate with sinners. He talked with outsiders. He sought to reform those in positions of power. And through it all, he brought together the family of God in surprising ways. Jesus' death and resurrection display a promise that God's power demonstrated in Jesus to heal and to calm and to reunite this world. Jesus' resurrection shows that God's power is stronger than the powers of darkness and evil and brokenness. And so we are called to remember. To remember that in Christ Jesus, we can find an endless source of hope. Hope that is founded in God's love for this world. Hope that is founded in God's action in Jesus to show and prove God's love. And hope that reminds us that God has promised not to leave us or forsake us in the darkness. But God has promised to heal and to restore this world, to make all things new, and then to join us as the source of glorious light for a life still future in a restored creation. This morning we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we do this expressly under instructions from Jesus to practice this meal, to share this sacrament in remembrance of him. We practice this meal as a way to draw to memory that Jesus' body was broken and his blood was poured out, and yet God raised him to new life. We practice and remember this meal that Jesus' life was not swallowed up by the darkness, but his life was restored and has become for us a source of ever-burning light and warmth and guidance and sustenance. Sustenance and light that promise to energize us and direct us, not just for today, but for life eternal. And so Paul calls Timothy to remember, first and foremost, to remember Christ. But Paul knows that memory can draw to mind other sources of kindling for our faith as well. Paul calls Timothy to remember Christ, but he also calls Timothy to remember other models of faith. Paul calls Timothy to draw to memory, for example, Paul's own good example. Paul calls Timothy to draw to memory how Paul has not turned away from his own calling or his message, but he has continued in his work, even despite the sufferings, the setbacks, and the disappointments, the persecutions, and even Paul's current state of being locked up in jail. His sufferings, which he has received because he's been doing the work of spreading the good news of God's love. Timothy is to draw to memory Paul, who continues to do what is good and right despite facing hardships and difficulties. Paul calls Timothy to remember others in this passage as well. Paul calls Timothy to draw to mind his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Paul holds up these two women as models and good examples of people who have lived their lives supported and guided by the warmth and the light of their own faith. Paul calls Timothy to rekindle his faith by drawing to memory the people in his life who have set a good example. My friends, this morning we have engaged in a special practice for this All Saints celebration. We too have lit candles in remembrance. We have lit candles to remember our saints, people in our lives who have made an impact on us and have been a blessing in our lives. This morning, through our scripture, through our practice of the sacrament, through our lighting of candles, God is good to remind us that this practice of memory is so vitally important to us. The practice of remembering, it helps us to rekindle our faith in times of darkness. The world around us with its sorrows and its struggles, the world around us without the practices of remembrance, the world around us can be so cold and so damp. The struggles and difficulties and disappointments of life can stifle and diminish the role that faith plays in our lives. And so this morning, God reminds us that we need our practices of remembrance. We need our practices of remembrance to help us to keep our faith kindled and burning brightly within us. Today, God reminds us to spend time drawing to memory those who can help to rekindle our faith and our hope. First and foremost, we should do this by drawing to memory our Savior, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And we can do that in many ways. We can do it through worship. We can do it through our Sunday evening prayer group that meets at 5 o'clock. We can do it in our Bible study, which meets Tuesdays at 2 o'clock. And we can do it personally in times of personal devotion. I would encourage you to make a practice of seeking to rekindle your faith and your hope on a daily basis. Make a practice of lighting a candle each morning. It might seem weird and strange, but do it to remember. Light a candle each morning. Say a prayer asking that God would be with you. And then read a chapter from the gospel. Through this practice, we can be reminded of God's promises to be a healer, to feed us in our times of hunger, to save us from the forces of evil. Remember, be reminded of Christ's promise and his good example. Beyond Christ, we can draw to mind figures like Paul and perhaps others whom we have known in our lives, people who have set us a good example of faith, those who have moved forward, who have done what is good and right in this world, even when facing times of difficulty. And finally, we can draw to mind those who are closest to us and who have shown us by the example of their lives, good and upright models to follow. The warmth and the light of fire is such a good and a wonderful blessing. Like my family, I'm sure you all are making plans for Thanksgiving. It makes me think of a dinner table with a candle burning at the center. That candle at the center of the table draws everyone towards the table. We push in our chairs, our hearts are tuned and directed together. The fellowship is deep around a table and a candle. At Christmas time, many people light a fire in their hearths. A fire burning in a hearth with crackling logs on a grate, a family and friends huddling closely together to share the warmth and the light. Later this afternoon, Jamie and I will host a s'mores soiree around our campfire for one of our preschool classes. And around a campfire, a community of friends gather together to sing songs and to roast marshmallows. This morning, God reminds us that in the times of darkness, we need to do some work to rekindle our faith, to be restored in our hope. So let us do that work. Let us rekindle our faith. Let us live by the light and the warmth that God gives us. And may we share that light of faith with others as well. My friends, let us rekindle our faith, and then we can let our lights shine. Amen.